I was just looking around and thinking, wow, God's good to us. We're quite cosmopolitan, aren't we? We've got Audrey from Spain, Barbara from Oxford. We've got our friends from Kerala, Brazil, South Africa, Moscow. Where was that one? Birmingham. Now, and we're all on our way to the promised land. We've got our tickets. We're citizens of a country that we're looking forward to be with our King. Is that switched on? Yeah, it is. Thank you. Thank you. At the conclusion of the Hustings event, do you remember, which Churches Together put on, and all the delegates who were up for Parliament came, which was so ably chaired, wasn't it, by Andy Fisher. Well done, Andy. He's not here this week, but he did a great job, didn't he? I got into conversation with Paul Woodhead. He was the candidate for the Green Party. And I just happened to tell him, I said, well, I put that question, will you fight for our ancient freedoms of speech, thought and religion? Paul said to me, I think you were wrong to say religion. You should have said faith. I said, Paul, I think you're right. And then he said these sad words. He said, I'm afraid I've lost my faith. And before I could say anything, he then said goodbye and was gone. So unfortunately, I couldn't pursue the conversation with him. But there we are. I prayed for Paul Woodhead, that God would touch him again and he'd find his faith. What about you? Have you got faith? Have you lost your faith? Have you not had faith yet? You're looking for it? Well, that's our subject, isn't it? Which Richard started. Try to press that one. Centre one or that one? That one.
Be not on. It's that one.
That one. That's what I thought. So Richard started it last week. And he said that was his text. Do you remember it? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And as an example, do you remember Richard got out a chair and he said, I believe this chair will hold my weight. And we all sort of, he got up on the chair, you remember? And sure enough, he put his faith in the right thing. The chair held him. So faith was a mixture of trust and action. It's a doing word, isn't it? Faith and action. That was just one of the examples that Richard gave last week And that was his text. Today we are considering verses 3-7. Can you read it with me? All right, let's go. Ready? By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Well done. That's our passage to think about today. John opens his gospel account. We're going to unpack it. Sorry, I ought to have said that. We're going to unpack it verse by verse. And of course, this is the first verse. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. We believe that, don't we? That's by faith. We understand. It was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The biblical account can be found in Genesis 1 and 2, where Moses, who was the writer, as you know, of the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch, where Moses records how God made the world in 6 days, concluding with making man. Then God rested on the seventh day. John opens his gospel account by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was in the world. And though the world was made by him, the world did not recognize him. By faith we understand the universe was made or formed at God's command. I can recall just after World War II, that's it, and maybe one or two of you can. Anyway, I can recall after World War II that the intellectual challenge was of the biblical creation account versus the theory of evolution. To me, it seemed to take an inordinate amount of our time discussing this. George Cansdale was the BBC's zoo man. He was a zoologist and he was a Christian. And we, that was Churches Together in Bromley, invited George Cansdale to come to the library to give his point of view on the biblical understanding of creation. And of course, as a committed Christian, a zoologist, it was a good evening. I wonder if Charles Darwin realized the damage his theory caused and is causing to the faith of young people. Especially as he himself was a good Anglican. And he was serving as church warden at the local church to us in Down, in Kent. And he lived in Down House. And also, he had a wooden shed, well, it was a big one, and he let us have it as a chapel. I say us. I went there to worship, but I, on occasions, and I think to preach once, I went with Mr. Scudder, who was my elder. But Darwin gave it to Mr. Fegan of Fegan's Children's Homes that were in there, very much in the country in those days. I think they've closed now. But that created confusion. And sadly, it's now talked of as if it's no longer a theory of evolution. It's taught in our schools, isn't it? But anyway, by faith, we believe the creation story as given in the scriptures. I'd like to read an extract from a book by Harold Hill, Living Like a King's Kid. Good little book, easy to read because it's not theological. So it won't send you to sleep. With apologies to theologians here. But I want to just read a bit from it. Give you a picture to contemplate. Harold Hill had his own company in the States, and he worked with Rolls-Royce, and don't know if Eric knew him at the time. No. Going back a bit, I think Eric was probably still at uni, I don't know. But anyway, he was involved with the Mercury and Gemini series of space missions. And this is what he said: I visited the tracking station in Bermuda in a consulting capacity. And the space scientists were checking the position of the sun, moon and planets out in space, calculating where they would be in 100 to 1,000 years from now. In addition, they were looking into the trajectories of known asteroids and meteors so we wouldn't send astronauts and satellites up only to have them bump into something in orbit. Well, as they ran the computer measurement back and forth over the centuries, it came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red flag, which meant that there was something wrong, either with the information fed into the computer or with the results as compared to the standards. They called in the service department to check it out. There's nothing wrong with the computer, the technician said. It's operating perfectly. What makes you think things are wrong? Well, the computer shows us that we've lost the day. There's a day missing where in elapsed time. They rechecked their data and scratched their educated idiot boxes. There was no answer, no logical explanation. They were as a baffled standstill. Then one religious fellow on the team said, you know, one time when I was at Sunday school, They talked about the day the sun stood still. They laughed him out of the room. Ridiculous. They didn't believe him. But they got nothing else to try. So they called him back in. What's this about you saying about the Bible tells you so? Well, he said, it goes back to Joshua. And Joshua was called to battle against the kings of the Amorites. Kind of formidable array of enemies. And God came and helped him, told him to fear not, that he would help him, deliver him out of their hands. And there was a massive load of stones came from outer space and killed off half the enemy. And then after that, they still to finish off wiping out the enemy, Joshua said, Lord, would you please hold up the sun and the moon? And it's recorded in the scriptures, the sun stood still and the moon stayed and hasted not to go down about a whole day. There. The Christian spaceman said, there's your missing day. Go ahead, check it out. Well, they checked their computers and the time when Joshua was defeating the kings, and they found that the explanation was close, but not close enough, because the elapsed time was only 23 hours and 20 minutes. 40 minutes were missing. That was it. Well, he said, I can remember something else. Oh, can you, they said. These religious people. Yes, he said, it goes back to 2 Kings and chapter 20. And he said, Hezekiah was on his deathbed. And Isaiah said, I can pray for you and God's going to heal you and give you another 15 years. Don't believe you, said Hezekiah. Well, what do you want God to do then to make you believe? Do you want him to make the shadow on the sun dark go forward 10 degrees? No, he said, that's too easy for God. I want it to go back 10 degrees. 10 degrees, you've guessed it, 10 degrees is 40 minutes. Guess what? They checked it out. And once they put that in, fed it in, the computer got it right. And our people got to the moon without hitting any objects. By faith, we believe that God created the universe. And NASA was quite obliging. A bit later, they said, we wish to let you know that there are as many stars in the sky as there is sand on the seashore. They had scoffed at that passage in the scripture when God said to Abraham, Abraham, I'll make your seed as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. What a comparison. But 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, NASA agrees that God got it right. So we see that the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, Abel. This was a tough one, isn't it? Why should one brother's sacrifice be better than the other one? By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. The commentaries help me. by reminding me that God looks at the heart. And obviously, he knew that Cain was just giving a, well, he ought to give an offering. But he saw the heart of Abel, and he saw that Abel was giving his offering in faith. And God said to Cain, look, Cain, if you get a right attitude, I'll accept your offering on another occasion. But watch it, Cain. Because sin is crouching at the door of your life. He was jealous. And the Bible account reads, he took his brother out into a field, and when he thought nobody was looking, he killed him. That was the first murder. And when God saw him afterwards, he asked him, he said, where's your brother? Cain lied and said, am I my brother's keeper? And God knew full well what had happened and said, listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You are cursed. God is not happy with any murder. Understandably. But it was by faith that Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch. Notice it's all by faith, down through the centuries. By faith, Enoch. Was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Just a little diagram that shows you the ages of people before the flood. And you'll see that Enoch only lived, was it 365 years? Only. But compared to his son, whose name was Methuselah, who lived what? 969 years. He only lived what? A third of the time. But he walked with God. He obviously was a man who lived by faith, because that's what's recorded of him. By faith. And God was pleased with him. He didn't die. He was taken. By faith. Next verse. This is the key verse today, isn't it? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's true for you and me. Paul, writing to the Romans, in chapter 5, I've got it there, yeah, 1 to 5. Through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Think about that. Isn't that fantastic? Paul reminds us of all we have access to through faith. Wow. We all got to dance. Right? All that we've got through faith. Faith in Jesus. Peace, grace, hope, joy, strength, strength in character, even though we are in suffering. God's love and the Holy Spirit within us. And that is just for now. Faith. Our last verse is a well-known historical event, which sadly Hollywood has just produced a film which is falsifying and degrading of the characters. Although the degradation is true of the time, it's not true of Noah and his sons. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The historical event can be found in Genesis 5:28-29. I'm afraid I couldn't get a good picture of the ark that was true to it. So that's just a reminder of the events that happened. The animals went in two by two, or whatever, into the ark. Noah was 480 years old when God told him he was going to destroy man from the earth because of their sin. But he would allow a period of grace of 120 years, during which time Noah built the ark to God's design, collected the animals, and no doubt he preached to the people, warning them what God was going to do. But none of them repented from their wickedness. Can you imagine when the flood came? And Noah, the family, and the animals were in the ark, and the waters were beginning to rise. Can you imagine the faces of those who had laughed and scoffed at Noah for building an ark on dry land with not a lake or sea in sight? By faith, Noah built the ark. The Hebrew word for faith is hardly found at all in the Old Testament. But of course the concept is, and so are the words like trust and hope. And here's just a couple of them which no doubt are familiar to us, aren't they? By King Solomon in Proverbs. He who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in himself, says King Solomon, is a fool. Proverbs 3, is it a favourite of yours? I've often quoted it, but I know it in the King James, not quite, almost the same as this, but it means the same. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Faith in the Lord. In the New Testament, the Greek noun and verb for faith are used countless times, hundreds of times. Let me just remind you of a couple of Jesus. Do you remember the lady who has been ill with an issue of blood for 12 years? Been to all the doctors, they couldn't cure her. And she sees Jesus in the crowd, Now Jesus in the crowd is being pushed by people and hustled and bustled. But she says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Do you remember the story? And Jesus says, who touched me? His disciples said, everybody's touching you in the crowd. He said, no, no. Somebody touched me in faith. And the lady said, I did. And he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Then do you remember the four fellows who had their paralytic friend? Do you remember that one? And they led him down through the roof. I hope they had insurance in those days. But they led him down through the roof. The paralyzed man. That's the only way they could get to him because of the crowd. And they bring their friend to Jesus. And Jesus says to the man, when he saw their faith, not the faith of the paralytic, he saw the faith of the four who brought him. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Hang on, we want him healed. And there were those in the... Jesus knew immediately there were the people there. He thought, who's he? He can't forgive sins. But he said to him, do you remember? He said, look, just to show you what you think's the hardest, to say, I forgive you your sins, or get up and walk. But to show you I've got power to forgive sins as well as the power to heal, I say to you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And it's recorded, he got up. He was healed by the faith. It was faith of his four friends. Do you remember? Paul said, through faith, we have peace with God. We give our lives to Jesus as an act of faith, and in return, Jesus gives us new life to be lived by faith. In the office, in the school, in the college, in the home, in the church. It's by faith. Richard's verse last week. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Our key verse this week. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Or he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you have that faith? Do you earnestly seek him? And do you know if you seek him, he will reward you? He's a God who rewards us. We're his sons and daughters. He's a father. He loves us. He wants the best for us. You've heard the story. Forgive me. 1943, a young kid gave his life to Jesus. Me. For God so loved Trevor that he gave his one and only son, that if Trevor believes in him, puts his faith in him, he will not perish but have everlasting life. And I put my faith in Jesus then. Since then, wow. I've been a naughty little boy. Mummy, why am I so naughty now I've given my life to Jesus? I did. I just knew the devil. Oh, I was so naughty after that. And I don't want to be naughty, Mummy. No. You don't have to be naughty. Ask Jesus to forgive you. And gradually, I learned to walk by faith. Have I let God down? Hands up. Have I seen God of miracles? Hands up. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the lame walk. I seen the demon-possessed old lady bouncing around as she's been. The demons have left her. And she's got up, healed. No bruising or anything. Rejoicing in Jesus. I seen the miraculous. But only to want more. Although I've let him down, he has never let me down. Why? Because he is a faithful God. Let me remind you of an old hymn before we sing another old hymn together. My faith has found a resting place, said a lady from Philadelphia 2 centuries ago. Not in a device or creed, I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. That ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I came to him. He'll never cast me out. My great physician, he heals the sick. The lost, he came to save. His precious blood he shed for me. His life he gave. And you know the refrain. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Faith is being sure. Are you sure, folks? Do I hear? Can I hear? Are you sure? That what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, that is what the ancients were commended for, and we will be commended for if we've got faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. That's the God that you and I love. May our faith be increased. Amen. Can we sing that old one? Great is your faithfulness. O Lord, my Father, there's no shadow of turning with you. Your compassions, they fail not. Amen.